From our readings this week, we'll be in Luke 10 through 13. So what I'm going to ask you to go to tonight is Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read a parable, if it is a parable, that you're very familiar with. And I call into question, it's often been referred to as a parable, but Jesus never calls it a parable. And it appears to me it may have been an actual event that he reports here and makes application from. So I'm going to start with this question. When's the last time that you did something great for someone else? You know, and sometimes there are little bitty things that we do and we don't realize how significant they are. And I always feel strange when I miss an opportunity to help someone else. I think about that passage in James chapter 4 and verse 17. To know to do good and not to do it is a sin. So as we think about that, we want to do that. And as I'm reflecting through this message, I'll probably bring out some other times when I've seen these opportunities come before you, for me, and they pass by, and I can't get them back, and I wish that I could. But let's go to Luke chapter 10 and begin in verse 25 down to verse 37. We're going to read the account here from Jesus, and then we'll make some application and draw out some observations. Verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him." We got a lawyer here, Jewish lawyer, testing Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" And so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered him, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Verse 37, "And he said, 'He who showed mercy on him.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Go and do likewise.'" Very powerful message there, one that has still have an effect on our culture in the United States. One of the few teachings of Christ that people still allow to be spoken of and think about. And it has great application to the message this morning when we looked at Jesus' command to love our enemies. And in this case, we have a lawyer, a Jewish lawyer, trying to justify himself. Isn't that interesting? Someone who knows the passages so well, wanting to know about eternal life, answer that big question that was debated among many Jews at the time. And here, Christ has a great affirmation of that answer, and other places Jesus has answered the same. And so there's an agreement here. And you would think that the lawyer would just stop right there, but he doesn't. He wants to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? All right, well, if you go to the passage that tells you to love your neighbor in the context of the Jewish culture, and you go back to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, you read that passage to love your neighbor, and the context is very clear in chapter 19 that your neighbor, especially if you were an Israelite, would be your fellow Israelite. It would be those who are near you, that are around you, that are living near you. So that would be your neighbor. In the context now of loving our neighbor, It might be different people, different beliefs that live around us, that we come in contact with. The very meaning of the word neighbor is the person who is near to you, someone who is close to you. I'm going to review some of the things here that we just read, to kind of highlight them as we go through, some observations, and maybe make a little bit more, bring some more out in the background as well. So here again, we have a Jewish lawyer. He put Jesus to test. With that question of what's essential to eternal life. And here he is questioning, who is my neighbor? And again, justifying himself. Someone could say, in this situation of the Samaritan and this Jewish man who's beaten on the side of the road, that that's not really his neighbor. You know, he's just there on the side of the road. I don't really live near him. The Samaritan, he lives in Samaria, and he's just traveling through. Why would it be his business? Why not leave it to any of the other passerbys of the Jewish people to take care of their own? That would probably be more of the reasoning from a Samaritan or a Jew toward a Samaritan if it was the other way around. But here we see the compassion. And a compassion that, and I think that what Christ is answering here is more of who your neighbor is, but how to be a neighbor is how some commentators have put it. And this is even more than that. It's how to love your enemy. Because the Samaritan here is definitely an enemy. There were wars and conflicts between the Jews and the Samaritans. And the Jewish people, their Hasmonean dynasty, destroyed the Samaritan temple about 100 years before Jesus. And so they had these conflicts, and of course you had the Samaritans trying to get the Jews out of the land and have them driven out. So that has been carried on throughout the decades and over the course of even centuries. So Jesus' answer, again, reported, and he gives this account that his answer is an account and a narrative. Probably, it doesn't say it's a parable, it may be an actual event, that you have a priest and a Levite. I want you to notice something about the text. It says there, and it says very clearly in my translation, that the priest is going down. All right, if you know anything about the geography of the land, you got Jerusalem's up high, Jericho is down 17 miles away near Jordan. And as you're traveling down that road, there's some areas where thieves and robbers can hide out and take advantage. Another thing that stands out, and this is what I want to point out, is when you notice what about the priest, what's he doing? He's going down the road. So he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's not going to Jerusalem to serve as the priest or to serve in the temple. He may have just finished it. And so, you know, it could be that he had some concerns about being unclean. I'm going to go help this man on the side of the road and he might die. But it's not in the context of even his service and his ministry in the temple that he's going to be prevented of. Then you have the Levite who's in another position. It appears that both of them are going down the road. The Greek text seems to emphasize this from what I understand, and that they're going down the road. They're going down to Jerusalem and passing this man. Their responsibilities are behind them in many ways. Now they're, it appears, probably trying to get home or either get to another location, but it doesn't seem like their objective is a holy, specifically a holy destination, as in serving in the temple. There may be other work that they're trying to do, but those are things that stand out to me, but they still pass this man by on the side of the road. And I don't understand that. What they're missing there from the law of Moses is the compassion, that even if you see your neighbor's animal in the ditch, you were to pull that animal out. Where's the compassion here for a man left half dead who's been taken advantage of? Now we see the Samaritan coming on, and I was noticing the text as well when I was reading it. The Greek text again implying that Samaritan is going down the road. Is he going down from Jerusalem to Jericho? Probably not. He's probably not coming from Jerusalem. He wouldn't have gone near Jerusalem or gone into Judea, but there, whatever the crossing road there was from the Samaritans and him going toward Jericho, he comes by, and that Samaritan finds this man half dead on the side of the road, and he cared for him. He had compassion on him, it says. What happens to us when we see somebody in need and we just turn that off? You ever done that? No, I'm not going to have compassion for them. What do you call that? There's a kind of hardness of heart, a lack of caring. And maybe you've done that before and you regretted it. I remember as a teenager doing something like that before. And I look back on it and I still regret it. It's still agonizing to think about that I would, you know, pass somebody by or that I would exclude somebody, or, you know, to be rude in that way. Things that oftentimes adolescents do, or children do, or adults do for that matter. And even in the church, this happens. So I think as I'm thinking about this account more from Christ, I also notice another thing here, and this is brought to my attention from Rachel. Notice what the Samaritan did. Now, I was thinking about the accumulation of it, but we also want to be very particular about what he did. So the Samaritan takes this beaten man, and he cares for him. He cares for him. He's willing to touch the man who's bleeding, to bind up his wounds, to put oil and wine on it. And oil is good for cleaning the wounds and for healing. And the wine is good for, as antibacterial and antiviral, and cleaning the wound as well. So he takes that from his own cost, and then on his own animal, he decides, oh, I'm going to probably walk. Who knows if they both rode together? The commentators talk about that. But he put him on his own animal. It seems to apply to me that he would be walking. Carried this man to the inn, and there's probably an inn in between. It looks like about a two-day journey between Jerusalem and Jericho, somewhere along that road. And he goes to that inn and puts this man up and pays, essentially pays for his medical bills. He puts 2 days' wages down. He says he's going to pay for everything and has great compassion for him because he's been robbed. Well, whatever the man had or was carrying with him for his journey is now gone. So he's out of money, he's out of health, he's out of time of work, and the Samaritan sees all this and cares for him in a way that many people would not care for another today. And you think about that. And so Christ wants us to do that. And here you have a Samaritan loving his enemy, making that example in this beautiful story that Jesus tells. I think another thing that was pointed out to me, this is what Rachel said. She said, maybe you're in a situation where you don't do all of those things, but you do a part of it. Maybe you do help someone along the road. Maybe you do help with them, somebody with their medical bills. There are a number of things that you can do. Maybe you are there to spend time with somebody when they're sick and care for them. So maybe you don't do them all at once, but there are those that we can certainly look out for. Christ's instruction, again, was to do likewise, to act as a neighbor who loves with compassion and mercy. And very much in the context is loving one's enemy. So I hope, every time I read that story, I hope that we reapply it and we think about it. Am I doing this? Because every time I read it, I think about the one or two people I pass by on the road that I know I could have given them a ride. You know, I know certain situations, and you know, I wouldn't want my wife stopping to help anybody do that, especially the children in the car. But I've had opportunities, and even recently, where I had someone come up to me and said, I need a ride. So I was able to give him one. Well, you need to take those opportunities. You need to do that. And I'm always checking myself and wondering why I don't take the initiative myself when I see someone in need to stop. I also think about, in the context of the priest and Levite, I think about if I'm heading to the church building or going away from the church building for that matter, after preaching or going to preach, and you see someone in distress, you see them in a point of harm, what would you do? Well, I know in a situation I would come across someone who's been beaten or hurt or in a car wreck, I'm definitely going to stop. I have no doubt about that. But I think there's a point of which we need to be prepared and ready to do good and not to pass those opportunities by. I think another thing that stands out to here is you're thinking about the Samaritan, you think about his love and compassion, and yet here you have a foreigner loving a Jewish man and caring for him. But how do we love those in our own household? Now, he's willing to do that. That Samaritan's willing to do that for this stranger. I would think that that Samaritan was a very good man. He was a good example. Maybe he's a good father and husband and everything that he knew and the way that he behaved. I would imagine that Samaritan one day would certainly convert to the faith and would come to Christ. He already knew the first 5 books of the Bible. The Samaritans kept up with that. They had some instruction on that. But as you're thinking about that, we're getting instruction here to love our enemy, to love our neighbor. How do we speak to our spouse or our children or to our parents? These are things to think about. Because if you're like me, it's most likely my family that's going to see me at my worst. They're going to hear when I've been distressed, when something has aggravated me, they're going to hear me say what I don't like about that person. They're going to hear it. I need to make sure my heart is right now. So just think about that love within your household. You think about your family. You want to think about your church family. What a shame is it that we can help someone on the side of the road, but we can't speak nicely or care for others in the church or talk to those who are marginalized and quiet and they come in and they sit by themselves. What attention do we give them? I hope that we attend to them. We have an excellent opportunity as Christians, every time we gather together as Christians, to look out in the assembly and find the person who is alone or might be alone during the week and to care for them. And think about your neighbors, those next door. There's great opportunity there. Your co-workers, and there's so many more that we can definitely be caring for. Who was this beaten man? Was he good? See, that's another question. Sometimes you might be driving down the road and you have an opportunity, or sometimes the opportunity to help somebody, or I get a knock at the door and someone comes in and I get to talk to them. And the question is, are they worthy of it? But that gets to the message this morning when Jesus says to love your enemies. And that sometimes comes to my mind. What are they going to do? I know that we don't want to give anybody money and help them in whatever sin that they might be committing. But there's sometimes that we know that we can do good and we just don't do it because it's an inconvenience. Why would we take this time out of our life or this money to do that? Well, I think the example and the teaching of Christ is that we should. And it might be the one thing that makes all the difference. And sometimes it's not the person we help, but the others that see us helping them, that it helps them the most, at least for their relationship with God. So think about the beaten man there, but also think about who is the Samaritan. I want to give you a picture real quick about who the Samaritan is again. The man living there and coming, this other race of people. Jesus refers to the Samaritans as another race. He uses a Greek word, ala, which means another, and then genes, which means race. Another race, or it's translated in Luke chapter 17 and verse 18, that he is a foreigner. He's not Jewish. Jesus, when he sends out his disciples, he says, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the foreigners, and don't go to the Samaritans. Not yet. Why? He says, they're not of the house of Israel, and I came for the house of Israel. They were separate. They weren't integrated into the Jewish culture. They didn't fully receive the faith. They only accepted the first five books of the Jewish canon, the Jewish Bible. Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. We read about this in John chapter 4 and verse 9, and it appears to be the other way too. Many Samaritans would not receive Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, as Jesus is walking through and he's facing to go to Jerusalem, that the Samaritans in that context of Luke 9 would not receive him. So you see the contention there. And that just highlights even more in the story what the Samaritan did. He had compassion, and God wants us to have compassion. The Pharisees even labeled Jesus a Samaritan. Think about that. They thought that was an insult. He's just a Samaritan with a demon inside of him. John 8 and verse 48. So that gives you a picture of the antagonism, the conflict, and what had been going on in Jewish society. And it even more, I think, shows that the Samaritan was doing more than loving his neighbor. He was acting as a neighbor, but he was loving his enemy. So what good comes from helping people, especially our enemies, people of other races and ethnicities? The Bible would tell us, and Christ would encourage us to do that. As we finish this evening, I'll give you the challenge here that I think is important for me. For me to personally, to keep this instruction from Christ, to look out for others who are in need, to not make excuses, is for me to be ready. Be ready to give up an hour of my day, to be able to give up half my day. There have been times when I've been blessed to help somebody and my whole day was gone. Maybe you've done that before. So you know what it's like. And God sees it and He'll bless you. Let's keep doing those good deeds. Let's keep listening to the words of Christ. Keep thinking about His instruction and making sure that we are definitely loving others, showing compassion and mercy. If anybody tonight needs to obey the gospel, if you need prayers, we encourage you now. Let's sing together.